So yesterday when this seventh chapter Bhagavad Gita, when we discussed, we were talking about what is called Maya, isn't it? That's what we started talking about, Maya. What is Maya? So we spoke about that. Krishna also mentions there in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning from the 12th verse in that 7th chapter, Krishna is presenting Maya to us. What is Maya? Echaiva satvika bhava rajasas tamasaschaye mata evedi tanvidhi natvaham teshute mai. Krishna says to us, first thing, understand this Maya. He says, wow, natvaham echaiva satvika bhavam rajasas tamasaschaye. Sattvigam, Rajasam, Tamasam. Three modes. In the Maya has got these three modes. This is Maya. Maya has got these three modes. What is that? Sattvigam, Rajasam, Tamasam. This is Maya. Yechaiva Sattviga Bhava Rajasas Tamasaschaye Matta Evedi Tan Vidhi. That know about this in this way. Nat Vaham Teshute Mai. In other words, that I am in them, but they are not in me. I am in them, but they are not in me. That is the first thing about Maya, Krishna is saying. Krishna's relationship with Maya is like that. Krishna is there in the Maya, but Maya is not in Krishna. Maya is not in Krishna. That is the relationship. This is a very important thing in spiritual life, because we are living in Maya's world. This is her world, isn't it? Maya's world. So, while living in Maya's world, we should know who is the boss here. Who is the controller here. And while trying to come out of this world and go into Krishna's world, we should also know what is Krishna's relationship with Maya is. That is why all these things are spoken. It says here, Yachaiva satyuga bhavam rajasas tamasaschaye mata evedi tan vidhi natvaham teshu te mayi. He says, in one sense, they are my manifested energy. Krishna's energy is Maya. But in one sense, everything, I am in everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature. On the contrary, they are within me. That is the important thing. They are within me, Krishna says, but I am not affected by that. From Krishna comes the modes of nature also. So we may think that because they come from Krishna, is Krishna affected by that? That is what Krishna is clarifying there. Although they come from me, they are within me. I am not affected by them. And when they manifest in the modes, three modes, Sattvam, Rajasa and Tamasa, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, I am there in them also. I am there in them. This is all to make us understand that the Brahman, or from where all everything comes, Brahman is the source, isn't it? Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, Krishna also says later, that the Brahman is the basis, Adhishtanam it is called. From there everything is coming, Jivas are coming, and the also Chitshakti, from Chitshakti Maya has come. Satta Chitta Anandam, out of that Chitshakti, one energy comes in the form of Maya. Another energy comes in the form of mind. Very difficult thing to understand. Therefore, it is meant anurvajaniyam. Anurvajaniyam means something which you cannot define. Which one? This thing called Maya. Equally difficult to define this thing called mind. Neither of them. We can't understand them, what they are. If you ask the mind, what is mind? How will you define the mind? Generally, we will say mind means chitavrti. Chitavrti means thoughts coming through. Now, the thoughts coming through, each one of us are different. Is it not? Every one of us have different thoughts coming through us. Which means, it is very difficult to say what this mind is. Chitavrti, how that comes continuously one after the other, and gives us problem in which we have no control either. Is it not? So, therefore, all the yogam is directed towards the mind. Yogaha chittavrati nirodhaha. Chittavrati nirodham is yogam. Who says that? Patanjali says that. Chittavrati stopping is yogam. He calls it as. isn't it? In the sixth chapter also we have seen about yogam when Krishna spoke about that. But the Maya, the other energy which has come from Chit Shakti again, she is also very difficult to say how she works. Nobody till now understands how Maya works. Therefore, there is no clear definition of Maya. What it says in the Acharya's commentary says, Akatida Gadana Padiyasi Maya. What you think is not possible, Maya can make it happen. Whatever you think is not possible, it cannot happen, Maya can make it happen. That is the capability of Maya. This is one of the definitions of Maya. So we have seen that verse, Echaiva Satyagya Bhavam. That's the first thing Krishna talks about Maya. After that, what did Krishna says? Traibir gunamayair bhavair ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohidam na abhijanadi mam ebhya param avyayam. So, this the impact of Maya on us. First, Krishna talked about Krishna's relationship with Maya. In the next verse, the impact of Maya on us. That is that next verse. He says here, Traibir gunamayair bhavair. This, under these three modes, what happens? Mohoyam na abhijanadi. Moham comes. Moham means that illusion or delusion, whatever that is mentioned. Deluded, it says here. So delusion or illusion, whatever that is. What happened to that? Because of that delusion, na abhijanadi, they won't know me. They will never understand me. They will never, the living entity is jiva. Under the spell of this maya, mohoyam na abhijanadi. What will they not know? Mam ebhya param avyayam. That I am not under the influence of this maya, that they won't know. They won't know my transcendental nature, who I am. When Krishna is talking about, you have to also remember, he's talking about the spirit soul. The soul by nature is not affected by maya. Maya is affected in the modes of nature, is affected in the intelligence. It's in the intelligence and the mind, isn't it? These are the places where maya influences us. Not soul. Soul has nothing to do. Sattvam rajas tamayidi gunam buddher na chalpana. Bhagavadam, Ekadasham. Krishna says there. Says to Uddhava, isn't it? Sattvam rajas tamayidi gunam buddhe na chalpana. Not in the soul. Again, Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita also, another place. So, there maya influences the intelligence. And that's enough. Why to affect the soul? It's enough for us. We're already under the grip of her. Very powerful grip. So, mam ebhya param avyayam. They won't understand me, who is above the maya, because they are in the maya. How will they understand? They are inside that maya. Avyayam. Avyayam means that inexhaustible. That means which never reduces in any way. It is always in that stays in that position. We have talked about all that yesterday in depth. So, in that verse in 13, we have also seen how Maya affects us. That is what we talked yesterday. A lot of time we spoke about the influence of Maya on us. In everything, we are completely in her grip. In everything, we are under her grip. If we think we are independent, it is our moham, delusion it is, isn't it? So, we also spoke about that time I saw that. So, when we come to this things what we talked about, sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam, that itself is called maya. And maya alone, that it is under that influence of maya, superior energy, that is presented as Ishvara also. That so, practically, how is Ishvara controlled? Ishvara is addressed. Ishvara is that potency of the truth. Krishna's potency, Krishna is addressed as Ishvara. Krishna, when he is present inside us as Ishvara, Sarvabhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Ishvara, when comes under this influence of this Maya, he is addressed as Ishvara. But he is not under the influence of Maya. But when Krishna is operating within this Maya, he is addressed as Ishvara. That is how we have to understand Ishvara. Ishvara is not outside Maya. Ishvara is Krishna operating within Maya, he is addressed as Ishvara. That is why the separate title given as Ishvara for him. Why? Because it is as Ishvara, he controls us. Isn't it? Ishvara sarva bhudanam hirdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yendra rudhani mayaya. That is how Krishna controls. He controls every one of us as Ishvara. Ishvara is the Krishna present inside Maya. While operating inside Maya, he is Ishvara. So Ishvara controls us sitting inside our heart. Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. Brahmayan Sarva Bhudani. All living entities is running around in circles everywhere, looking, not knowing what is the right thing to do. Yandrarudhani Maya. Remember that giant wheel? We have sat on that giant wheel. The wheel is rotating, which means the cycle of birth and death continuously happening to us. And who is the witness? Krishna is the witness. Ishvara is the witness. That is why he addresses Ishvara there. Ishvara means one who controls everything. He is the controller. He is the controller. So it's not a name given to Krishna like Keshava, Madhava, Govinda, like that. It is a title given to him based on the function, Krishna's function here in the Maya. That is why he is called as Ishvara. All other names like Govinda, Madhava, Damodara, Achyuta and all that is based on the pastimes, isn't it? Different pastimes the name has come to Krishna. But Ishvara is the name given to Krishna because of the presence inside Maya as the controller. You see? Controller. So we saw all that. We also mentioned about this, that our present relationship with the Ishvara, with Krishna, is like this, that we have some problems in this world inside Maya, and we are going to Krishna, who is inside the Maya controlling everything, and we request Krishna, give us some shelter, give us this, so many things we think that it's good for us. We pray to Krishna for that, to help us in our troubled times or in problems. Or if we and sometimes bad thoughts also comes, but we want Krishna not to develop that bad thoughts inside, such a desire is not to develop inside. So whatever, good or bad, whatever we are desiring inside, Krishna has to make sure that it doesn't happen, isn't it? Suppose Krishna is giving fulfill all our desires, say what will happen then? All the bad thoughts what's also developing inside, if Krishna fulfills that, then what will happen? Then that's the problem, isn't it? So that decision Krishna has to make. Suppose you have some bad thoughts developed in the heart, and Krishna also says, okay, you can have it, whatever you want it. And then what will happen? We'll get into trouble somewhere. Somewhere it will end up in some serious trouble. So at that time, to protect us, Ishvara has to decide not to give it to us. So, and other times, when we need something really necessary in life, for our including spiritual life, desire for spiritual life, Krishna has to give it to us. And that is also Ishvara's duty. Ishvara has to do that. Ishvara who is doing that? That is Ishvara. So, Ishvara Sarvabhudani. So here, you can see, what is good for us, that decision he has to make, Krishna has to make. Everything what he makes good is the good decision. It is good for us. You can, overall, finally you will realize it. What we thought is bad, ultimately will end up as good. If he has put us into some difficult situation in life, if that is going to take us away from material life, is that not a good thing? If it forces us to give up our attachment to this world, attachment to other living entities or objects in this world, and send us inward looking to realize the truth, is that not a good thing? So that is why all great devotees, when they gone through the distress, eventually they addressed to Krishna and said to him that you made the right decision at that time, although I struggled and suffered a lot. I suffered a lot, doesn't matter, but you made the right decision. Because had you not put me into that situation, I would have never come back to you. I would have never thought about coming back to you. I would have never thought about coming back to you. Many, many devotees, Manikyavachakar, Tirumular, and Navakarasya, so many, many, many great, great personalities, this is all they have sung after self-realization. What they saw, that this was the mercy of Krishna's mercy. that has come to them in this form. So today we don't know what is good and bad. We think what temporarily meets our needs is good. What we have thought, something, some fantasy we developed in our head, and we think that if Krishna gives it to us, that's the best thing, that's good for us, and we start judging Krishna on that basis. But Krishna's judgment is on a different level. What is good for us, ultimately to give up our attachment to this world and to come to spiritual life and take seriously spiritual life and self-realization, that is what Krishna is thinking about as our benefit is concerned. So you can see that is why he is Ishvara. Just like examples, when we took birth, we didn't know there was a father and mother waiting here for us, were we? Nobody knew about it. They also didn't know anything about us. They also, but still, a force or power in them, both in the father and the mother, to bring up the child, to look after the child. Where is that force coming from? Where is that force coming in a father and a mother to look after the child? There is no explanation to that. We think we know everything, isn't it? Where is that force coming from? That force is, Krishna is saying there, that's coming from me. Gadi, Bhartha, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat. If you look into the verse in the, which chapter? It is in the 9th chapter, I think. You will see, Krishna is saying 9:18. If you look at 9:18, you will see Krishna talking about himself, who I am. He starts saying there, look into verse 18, Krishna says, Gadir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad. Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Krishna is saying, Gadi Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sukhrad Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. He says, I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. The way to understand that verse is, Gadi, Gadi. Gadi means, ultimately we have to go back to Krishna. There is nowhere else to go. Where else will we go? Except to go back to Krishna. There is no other place to go. You can keep on rotating here in different bodies. That option is there if you decide to. But if you want ultimately a shelter, there is only shelter, there is no other shelter, Gadi. Then Gadi, Bharta, that he is the he is the refuge and the most dear friend, Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, he says here. Bharta means that he is the person who is actually controlling everything, isn't it? He sustains everything. That is that address, Bharta means. That it is due to his presence that this creation is going on, the living entities are carrying on in this world due to Krishna's presence behind it. Bharta, Prabhu, Master, Sakshi, the witness of everything. So, Gadir Bharta, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat. Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat. And Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat. He is the abode. All this is spoken from the spiritual platform. As the soul, Krishna is speaking as the soul of everyone, as the soul present in everyone. He is speaking from that statement, from that state he is speaking. You must not simply think that it is just a person speaking, but rather we should understand that it is that platform from which Krishna is speaking. Nivasa, Sharanam, Sukhrat, everything is, devotees will address it as Krishna, the jnanis will address it as Brahman. That is all the differences, but it's one and the same thing. One and the same thing. So, Gadi, Bharta, Prabhu, Sakshi, Nivasa, and in him everything is happening, and that is our shelter, Sharanam. Ultimately, Sharanam, shelter is also that. Sohrat, and he is a friend all the time. If there is one friend in this world, that's only Krishna, nobody else. Nivasa, Sharanam, Sohrat, and Prabhava, Pralayasthanam, we come from there. And that is where we'll end up also at the end. Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam. Nidhanam means Adhishtanam or the basis on which. And Nidhanam Bijam Avyayam. Bijam means the seed. The seed of everything, the original seed. Creation, everything has come from that original point. The starting point of everything is that Bijam. Avyayam. Avyayam means that the place where it doesn't, by all, even though all these things have happened, nothing has happened there. from the source. Source, there is no change in the source. Source remains as it is. So many things have come from the source, but nothing has happened in the source. That is how that. So we have seen there that Tribir Gunamayir Bhavir Ebhi Sarvamidam Jagat Mohidam Na Abhijanadi Mamebhya Paramavgayam. Because of the influence of this Maya, what happens is that we do not understand these things of Krishna's position in any of these things. We don't know any of these things. Although Bhagavad Gita is telling us all this, we don't. Why is it like that? Mohidam na abhijanadi. Because of the powerful three modes of material nature. He is controlling us, tying us down very strongly. So practically, Brahmam is defined in two ways, Sagunam and Nirgunam, isn't it? Sagunam Brahmam, Nirgunam Brahmam. Saguna Brahmam means attributes, attributes to the Brahmam. Attributes to the Brahmam means all these different features. Brahmam has so many features, isn't it? In creation also, in various ways, Brahmam's presented in form, in different names, different forms, Brahmam has manifested. In different names and different forms, Brahmam has manifested. So all those all are referred to in one word as Saguna Brahmam. Saguna Brahmam means Brahmam with attributes. This is the Jnani's way of explaining that, defining it, is in that way. So when we go into, in Upanishad, it will not talk about Sagunam. It will only talk about the Nirguna Brahmam. Why? Upanishad is more concerned about the soul and the realized state. Saguna Brahmam is while we are living in this world, how will we experience the presence of Brahmam here in the form of different modes, isn't it? In the form of different different forms, names like that. So that is called Saguna Brahmam. Upanishads will talk about Nirguna Brahmam. Upanishads talks about Nirguna Brahmam. So when you read Upanishads, because we are attached to Sagunam, Sagunam features. Sagunam is easier for us, isn't it? Everything, if we get a name and a form, it is easy for us. That's why we have got visiting cards, isn't it? to connect ourselves with anybody. If you have the visiting card, you can immediately say, that is his Sagunam. But he is not the visiting card address name. That is not the real he. The real he is something different than all that, isn't it? What is in the visiting card? Or his photo. That is not him. He is somebody different than that. But if you apply for the passport and if they ask, what's your name? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. You won't get a passport, would you? You won't get a passport. They say, we don't issue passport for such people with these titles. They won't understand what this means. There you need Peter, Paul, whatever name. You need something, some sagunam feature you need. Otherwise you can't get it. So for Vyavaharam, you need sagunam. For Vyavaharam, those who are used to Vyavaharam, they need Sagunam. Sagunam is, otherwise it is not possible. So Sagunam Sagaram, all form, name and all these things is necessary for Vyavaharam. And we also are addicted to that, used to that. So when Brahmam is spoken in the Nirguna form, it is not possible for us to connect with that. It's not possible for us to connect with that. Because this is all what we know. We don't know anything else than this. So when we come to this world, there is thousands and thousands of fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, like this. A huge list exists in this world, isn't it? Husbands, wives, but Krishna is saying, all these things what you see, the Mula Vastu, the original seed is me. Krishna says, it's from me, all of them has come. All of them has come. The husbands, wives, parents, children, mother, father, whatever you address in this world in different sagunam forms, the origin, Krishna is saying, is me. That is that verse. That's what it is saying here. Then similarly, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, the origin is also from me. Just like all the names and forms and all the sagunam features, sagunam attributes, what you find in this world is from Krishna. The three modes of material nature is also come from the soul, from the soul, from Chit Shakti, it had come. So it is capable, that Chit Shakti is capable of creating even very, very powerful karmatas. Karmatas means one who absorbs in very powerful Ugra karma in this world. It can create a Hitler, it can create a Hiranyakashipu also. This powerful what is known as the Chit Shakti is capable of creating that. It is capable of creating that Vastu is such, that Chit Shakti, that energy is such. It is capable of creating even the most powerful living entities, like we had in this world so many very, very big men who had come and with such strong mind and created so much hell in this world and gone away. And it is capable of creating them as well. As well as they are capable of creating very simple, ordinary living entities as well. That's all coming. The source is the same. Whether it's Hiranyaksha or whether it's Hiranyakashipu or whether it is Prahlada or whether it's Ravana or whether it's Kumbhakarna, doesn't matter. The source is the same. It is from the same source that Chit Shakti, they have all come. That powerful Saguna forms have come. That is what it says here. So, whatever it wants, it can create. Whatever it wants, it can create. So, because that power, from where that source, where it's coming from, when we worship Him in the mode of goodness, Sattuguna Rupam, Sattugunam, in we worship Him, that we address Him as Ishwara, who is the Supreme Controller. We address Him as Supreme, that Shakti, when He comes to this world and we takes His shelter and surrender unto Him, because it is from Him everything is coming, we surrender unto Him and take His shelter, and that is why, and that we will address Him as Ishwara at that time. If you look into the next verse, you will see there. Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vayam Prabhadyande Maya Mevam Tarandide Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam evaye prabhadyande Maya medam tarantite Devi hesha gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam evaye prabhadyande Maya medam tarantite Devi Hesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam Eva E Prabhadyande Mayam Etam Tarantide. Translation: this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Sinim. Mamive prabhadyande mayamedam tarantide. So Krishna says there is not a lot of problem. It's very simple, he says. There is only three modes of material nature. Just cross over it. Surrender unto me and cross it. Where is the problem? Devi hyasha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Mamevayam prabhadyande mayamedam tarantide. So here, see, this maya, which is Trigunalmiya, Devi Devasya Mam Ishwarasya Vishnu Subhava Bhudahi Yasmad Eshaha Yathoktam Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. It says, Devi Devasya Mam Ishwarasya. That Devi Maya, it's called. Devi Maya. Devi Maya means what? Krishna's Maya. This Devi Maya, Mam Ishwarasya Vishnoho. Vishnu Maya, in other words, Vaishnavi Maya, it is referred to as Vaishnavi Maya. So, Katham Punar Devim Etam Trigunalpigam Vaishnavi Mayam Adikramiri Uchade. How to cross over this Vaishnavi Maya is what is spoken here. Devi Devasya Mami Ishwarasya Vishnu Subhava Bodahi Yasmad Eshaha Yathoktaha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya. That Gunamayi, she is Gunamayi. Gunamayi means the Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa is her very nature itself is Gunamayi. And Subhava Bhudahi, her Subhavam is such that Yasmad Esha Yathoktam. That whatever you are trying to understand her, you will never get to understand her. You will never get to understand her. That's why it says here, It is a special Shakti, special power from Krishna. Shakti. Then why it is that it is not possible to cross over? So, because first thing what Krishna is saying, that you can cross over Maya itself is Maya. To think that you can ever cross Maya itself is a Maya. Itself is a Maya. Although Krishna says there, Devikesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Durateya, Mam Evayam Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tharandide. It's fine, the verse is very nice. The Krishna says, cross Maya and come back to me. Yeah. But the important thing is to remember is Devasya Mama Ishurasya Durateya. It's impossible to cross Maya our own way. If she lets you go, you can. If she lets you out, you can get out. Otherwise, it's not possible. This is why it's said like that. On your own, you can't get out. But if she lets you out, okay, now you can go, you can go. Otherwise, you can't. You stay. She says you stay, you stay. There's no choice there. That's how it is. So, that is why it said, because normally we think, I'll fight with her. Don't fight with Maya. That's the first thing. If you think that you can fight and win her, impossible. Not possible. What you can do, you can surrender. That's the best method than fighting. Nobody has won till now fighting her. Nobody has won fighting Maya. People have won over Maya by surrendering unto her. Why? Surrendering unto her. So, so sometimes you can see in dream state, while you are dreaming, that you can experience like this sometimes. In the dream, you are walking and walking and walking, but you are not getting there. Keep on walking, but you are not getting there. So, you have got that experience sometimes? Sometimes people have that experience, isn't it? Something, you want something, you keep on moving, 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 but you are not getting anywhere. It keeps going like that. So, similarly, sometimes you are thrown out from a cliff. You are falling, but you are not getting to the bottom. You keep on falling for a while. And you start thinking, when is this going to drop? So many experiences like that people have in the dream, isn't it? So many different kinds of experiences then. Or sometimes, say a tiger or something is trying to attack you in a forest. These are different states you experience this. And in the dream state, you want to take shelter because tiger is approaching you, and you saw some creeper, you want to hold on to that. You are jumping, you are not getting it. And tiger is not eating you yet, but you keep on jumping, trying to get hold on to the creeper. Different kinds of thoughts, different kinds of dreams what we experience. It is similarly, but if you keep on thinking somebody is going to come and protect you at that time, will anybody come? Nobody is going to come in the dream to help you, isn't it? The only way is when you wake up from the dream, you have escaped from that problem. You escape from the problem. This Maya is also like that. Maya is also like that. If you think while in Maya you will fight her and you will win, you will not make it. It won't happen. But somehow or the other, if you got woken up from this Maya by Krishna's mercy, Kripa, if it happens and you are woken up from this, then you will escape. So subtle is this Maya that it is difficult to fight against her. You don't know who the enemy is, how can you fight? One moment she will put you up in such a nice situation and you will think everything is under control, they say, isn't it? Everything is under control. The very next moment she will throw you into such a situation you will feel totally helpless in this world. And where is that control gone at that time? She does both to the same person. That is her capacity. And we start wondering, only a few days ago I was on the top of the world. And very next moment you feel completely helpless, don't know what is going to happen next day. So miserable you become. Why is it like that? Mama Maya Durateya. That is an, and you don't know who is doing it. So therefore, how can you fight against that? That's why Krishna is saying, don't try to fight her. It won't work. It won't work. Only thing what we can do, we can appreciate her power. How powerful she is. And keep that distance and pay respectful to her for that. That's why it says here that sometimes you can see, you know, when you are children, you know what is the most difficult dream they go through? Is examinations, isn't it? Examination. You also know that, who are in the school. It's nothing worse than that. It keeps coming in the dream and give you so much trouble. And you curse everyone who has created the system of this examinations. And it comes whether even if you have done well. So so when it comes in the dream, if you write that examination, the dream, and pass, is there any benefit from that? There is nothing good, is there? Is there? There is no good from that. So there is no benefit. And you won't pass also that exam. In the exam, if you write in the dream, because it comes in the dream so much, you want to write it and finish it there itself. But you won't pass the exam there. So that's why. So the only way that when you woken up, that fear has gone from inside. But otherwise it's a big fear in the school, college also, isn't it? Especially when you have certain subjects which you don't like at all, and you're not getting anywhere with it, and you get a bad teacher also, everything against you, and nothing is going inside what is talked about. And so that situation, it develops a personality inside that examination, and it threatens you at night in the dream, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says here, so you can't cross that state in the dream. You can't do anything about that. Similarly, Devikesha Gunamayi. This Maya, she is Gunamayi. Gunamayi means Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa, these three Gunam she has. She has got these three Gunams. Mama Maya Durateya. And that you cannot cross over that very easily. So there are, to make this understand, this Maya, there are so many examples in the Puranam to talk about it. So many examples. Because sometimes some great personalities like Sri Narada Maharshi, Markandeya Maharshi, all great, great personalities, they wanted to see what Maya is. And once in a way, they felt a desire to know about Maya from Krishna. Because Krishna is the controller of the Maya, isn't it? So if you read Bhagavatam, you will see, in the 12th canto, there is this story of Markandeya. Markandeya's famous story, that is. Markandeya sits there in Pushpabhadra River, in Badrinath. He sits there near the Pushpabhadra River. And he was engaged in meditation. And where Markandeya ashramam was there, that was not far away from Naranarayana Maharshi's ashram. Naranarayana ashram is there, Badrikashram, Vedavyasa Maharshi's ashram there, and Markandeya Maharshi's ashram also there. They are all there still. But Markandeya Maharshi, while he was performing penances there, one instance, Markandeya was a great personality. You know that, Markandeya. We have this Markandeya Puranam is there. Markandeya is Acharya of all the Puranas. Purana Acharya Dostude. Who gave this title to him? Sri Parvati gave this title to Markandeya. In the Bhagavatam, you will see that later. When Shiva and Sri Parvati came to see Markandeya, seeing Markandeya's tapashakti, that strength of brahmachari life and that determination in the self-realization, that even Maya could not touch him. Beginning, Maya could not touch him. Seeing all that, Markandeya Maharshi was destined to die at the age of 16. He was meant to die. And at the day when he had his 15th birthday, when the mother came to know that this will be the last birthday where she will serve the food, prasadam, to him, to Markandeya, while serving the prasadam, from Markandeya Maharshi's mother's eyes, that she shed some tears which fell on the leaf. When Markandeya Maharshi looked, mother was crying, and he could not understand. Markandeya didn't know anything about it. So Markandeya asked his mother, why she is crying? She said, I was thinking that this will be the last time I will serve this feast to you. And when Markandeya heard, how did this come about? Mother said to him that the astrologers have said that 16th birthday is all the life is entitled in this world for Markandeya. So Markandeya at that point, as soon as the meal was over, he left home and went to perform penances, meditation, everything, took Krishna's shelter, and Krishna protected him, and Shiva also protected him. He escaped from death. When death personified, when Yamadutas came to take over, control, take Markandeya away from here, the personified death who came, he was killed by Shiva. protected by Shiva, Markandeya escaped from there. He went to Himalayas to perform his famous tapas there in Pushpabhadra river. While he was performing penances there, Narayana Maharshi heard about Markandeya's success. Because death personified was killed by Markandeya's bhakti or devotion, so Narayana Maharshi came to congratulate Markandeya Maharshi there in this ashram. So when he came there, Narayana Maharshi said to Markandeya, "You are a very, very strong person. You are very good and successful in your spiritual life. At such an early age, you managed to escape from death. You managed to escape from death. No more death for Markandeya after that." So, and he congratulated Markandeya Maharshi, and Markandeya said to, Markandeya told Narayana Maharshi that, "I would like to see Maya." At that time, this desire came up in Markandeya's mind. So Markandeya, when he said like that, Narayana Maharshi smiled, seeing Markandeya's desire to see Maya. So Narayana Maharshi, anyway, since he asked for that, Narayana Maharshi thought, let him experience what Maya is. He's sitting there and Narayana Maharshi is walking back. A few steps he has gone, immediately Markandeya Maharshi started experiencing a total devastation in the whole planet. He's experiencing that. Everything gets flooded. All the land got submerged in the water. Then one after the other, different peaks in the Himalaya started going underneath the water. Eventually, Markandeya Maharshi's ashram is also underneath the water, including Everest, everything underneath the water. And all you could see everywhere was only water. In whichever direction he looked, there was only water everywhere. And it is in that water, Markandeya Maharshi is swimming, continuously swimming in the water, just like we go through the dream sometimes, isn't it? Similarly, an endless dream for Markandeya Maharshi. He is swimming, he is drinking water also, and he is swimming. And he is getting tired. And in the middle of all that, he is getting married, he has got wife, children, everything. That's also in the middle of all these things. And he is still swimming. The family is going on and he is swimming. And he's trying to hold all the children together, but most of them are going in different directions. And he couldn't get control of anyone. So, but still he is swimming, he's trying to survive in that water. So he kept on going for a while. Markandeya didn't know what to do. Suddenly he's looking everywhere, nothing he could see. Eventually there was a leaf in which a baby is lying there. A baby is lying with the toe, the baby is sucking the toe in the mouth and lying there, a little baby. Markandeya goes to that baby and hold on to him, and thinking that at least I got this baby now, and baby also doesn't have anyone except me. This is Markandeya's thinking. While Markandeya was thinking, in one of his, when he inhaled, the baby goes inside. Markandeya's inside. And then when he exhaled, baby comes out again. All these things are happening, and he is swimming also still. Still he is swimming in the middle of all this. All this may look very extraordinary, isn't it, for us. But Maya's power, in order to explain that, what happened between Narayana Maharshi and Markandeya, there it is then that Markandeya Maharshi says to him that, "Please look after me." And he started thinking about it, when will this come to an end? Suddenly Markandeya looks a few feet away, Narayana Maharshi is standing there and smiling at him. When he saw the smiling, Markandeya says to Narayana Maharshi, "You don't have to explain to me what Maya is anymore. What Maya is anymore, you don't have to tell me anymore. Because Maya cannot be explained. Maya you have to experience only. Then you will know what Maya is." So that is why Maya is akadita gadana patiyasi Maya. Whatever we think is not possible, Maya can make it happen. It'll make you experience that. What more do you want? After all, everything in this world is experience only, isn't it? What is real in this world? What you experience, you consider it as real. So if something makes you experience something, then that's real for you, is it not? So Markandeya, at that point in time, it was all real. It was all real. He was swimming and he was drowning and he had a family life. He was taking birth, he was dying. All sorts of things was happening in that Maya. That is Krishna's Maya. And it is after that, that Markandeya Maharshi goes into meditation, seeing Krishna's powerful Maya. Because when Markandeya Maharshi was in meditations, Indra got upset concerned about Markandeya, and send the apsaras women from the heavenly planets to disturb him, to disturb his mind. But even that he survived. He didn't get disturbed. And that is what Narayana Maharshi felt, that he should come personally and congratulate him for that. That's why he came personally to congratulate him. Two reasons. One, he won over death. Number two, he survived even Indra's provocations. He survived that. For these two reasons, Narayana Maharshi thought he should come and congratulate him. That's why Narayana Maharshi came. But then this desire came to see Maya, what Maya is. But after seeing Maya, afterwards Markandeya never thought about Maya again. Never wanted to know about. So Markandeya later on performs penances, and then Lord Shiva and Parvati comes and blesses him with a lot of different Purana Acharya Dastude, Acharya of all the Puranas, Trigala Jnanam, Jnanam Trigaligam Brahmam, he says. Trigala Jnanam, past, present, the future, all that understanding given to Markandeya. So there is that incident mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Maya. About Maya. Maya is difficult to understand. Maya is difficult to understand. Nobody knows what is Maya means. Difficult to define Maya in a clear way. So here you will see Vaishnavi Maya is such a powerful thing. Vaishnavi Maya is powerful thing. When Sri Narada Maharshi went to see Krishna's grihasthashram, householder life, there also Narada Maharshi was in Maya. Narada Maharshi fell into Maya there, isn't it? What happened was, Narada Maharshi, people were talking about how can one person, one man, marry Krishna alone, can maintain 16,108 wives. This was the talk in Dwaraka at that time. How could Krishna do that? So they decided that Sri Narada Maharshi should go and verify that, how Krishna is managing the household, householder life, Krishna's householder life. So when he went there, what did he saw? He saw from Rukmini's palace, he saw Krishna was there, engaged in various activities with Rukmini. Similarly with Satyabhama, Jambavati, Satya, Bhadra, all different wives. 10 or 12 houses Krishna, Narada Maharshi went there, and everywhere he saw Krishna engaged in different activities with his different wives. Everywhere. And everywhere Krishna was present there. And everywhere they were welcoming, Krishna was welcoming him as though he is meeting him first time. So Narada Maharshi got confused with all these things. That is Vaishnavi Maya. That is Krishna's Maya. So Narada Maharshi had this experience, and in the Mahabharatam there is this famous story between Sri Narada Maharshi and Krishna. They were going for a walk once. Narada Maharshi and Krishna was going for a walk together. While they were walking together, Krishna was saying to Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi was saying to Krishna that, what is this Maya? Can you tell me about it? Narada Maharshi thought, because I am such a close friend, Krishna is going to tell me something, what I am going to ask him. So Narada Maharshi asked this question. Krishna says, I won't tell you about Maya now, that all I am saying is I am feeling thirsty now. Please go and get some water, he says to Narada Maharshi. So Narada Maharshi said, okay, after that I'll tell you about Maya, he said. Krishna says, I'll talk to you about Maya. So what did she, Narada Maharshi? Narada Maharshi, they were walking together, and somewhere they saw a house, and Narada Maharshi went there to ask, looking for some water for Krishna to drink. When Narada Maharshi got there, the householder was not there. There was a young, beautiful girl at home, and when Narada Maharshi asked for water, she gave him water. But when he saw the girl, Narada Maharshi thought, I should get married and settle down here. Narada Maharshi's mind went in that direction. Forgotten about Krishna completely. Krishna has asked for water. And Narada Maharshi is busy now here getting married. So what did he do? You can't ask her just straight away to get married. The system was obviously to go through the parents, isn't it? So he waited for the parent to come. Father came back from his work or whatever he was doing, he came back. So when he saw Narada Maharshi, he thought that Narada Maharshi is a nice bridegroom for her daughter, for his daughter. So he asked Narada Maharshi whether he would like to marry her. And Narada Maharshi said yes, he was happy, and they got married. And they got married. By now, he's forgotten about Krishna, water, everything is gone. And then what happened was, Narada Maharshi had children from her. Many children, 8 children from her. 8 children. And Narada Maharshi started his family life there, completely forgotten about the water. And this family life, and by chance what happens, the rainy season came, seasons changed, rainy season came, it started raining. And it started getting flooded everywhere. Every flood. The house is also under floods. So Narada Maharshi took his wife, and with these 8 kids, he is trying to escape from the floods. So while swimming in the water, he is holding all these 8 children. He is telling his wife also to hold, but wife one is unable to do anything about it. All these children and Sri Narada Maharshi, they are swimming. They are not getting anywhere. It went on for a while, and after that, suddenly there was no water, there was nothing. Krishna was standing next to him. Krishna says to Narada Maharshi, "Where is the water I have asked?" He says to Narada Muni. Krishna says to Narada Muni, "Where is the water? You went for to get the water. Where is it?" He says. So only then Narada Maharshi paid his obeisances to Krishna and says to Krishna, "I don't want to say any more about Maya. I have understood what it means," he says. In all the Puranas, there are so many stories about Maya because it is something very difficult to explain. So, when they were swimming, he was holding on to this 8. When he's trying to hold one, the other one will leave. When he holds that, and this one will go. This is how it was. It was very difficult for Narada Muni to look after them. And in that process, the wife died, children also died, all died. And Narada Muni was suffering also due to all of that, what was happening. So, and Narada Muni, at that time, after all of them died, he was thinking, "What shall I do now?" He was thinking, it was then that Krishna appeared in front of him and says to him, "Where is the water that you have gone for?" So by now, then Narada Muni has forgotten everything. What has happened? So all this has happened in 5 minutes' time. So imagine that. Krishna didn't put him through a long haul, but for a very short period of time. In 5 minutes, all this experience has happened to Narada Muni. And that was enough for Narada Muni to realize it. Sometimes you can see, just like Maya's experiences is very much similar to the dream experiences, many things. A long span of lifetime, you can finish in a very short time in the dream, isn't it? Say, 10 years or 20 years you spend in the school and college, you can go through the whole thing in a one night's dream or a couple of hours' time maximum. You can shorten it. All the experiences what you had, the important experiences. So in other words, what it means is, Maya also has this power of illusioning us with time and space. She can put us into illusion. Once a question was asked, this is realized souls can answer this very, because they are conscious of this, Maya's power. A question was asked that somebody died. And after death, 2 or 3 years have gone, so he came and asked this question that what happens that now that he would he have got another birth somewhere, and if he has got a birth, how old he will be? This was the question. A person whom was known to them, who left the body, he died and a couple of years have gone. So he goes back and asks this Maharshi about this, asking him, what has happened to that person who died 2 years ago? Would he must have taken birth somewhere else, or would he be about 2 years old now, because 2 years have gone since then? This is how our mind will go, isn't it? Maharshi's reply was that not only that he has got a body, but he could be some 65, 70 year old now, he says. And this man could not understand what he is saying. That is Maya. This time, space and all, what we consider as absolute, they are not absolute things, isn't it? It's a complete illusion, that is, time and space, that we have created around us. I'll give you an example. That, look at this way. This is while studying the mind. Why we say this is, that in Shastram, particularly in Vedam, the stress is given on hearing, Shravanam, isn't it? Shravanam is given the importance. Why Shravanam is given importance? Because while hearing, this you have to think very carefully. See, the thing called mind, This is where what we are utilizing for everything with the mind, the power of the mind, isn't it? And this mind is one thing which is an agent of Maya, which is an agent of Maya inside us, staying there. They took birth same time. Maya for us, Maya and the mind has taken birth from the Chit Shakti, same time. What does the mind do? Mind only does two things. What is that? Hankering and lamentation. Hankering and lamentation, in one way. One way if you put it that way. Or in other words, it goes to the past and analyzes the past all the time. Or it interprets something based on the past. It will interpret something. Or what it does about future, some expectations, imagination it will create. Have you noticed that the mind does only these two things? Either it talks about the past and discuss about the past, or it talks about the future. Most of the time, it's about the future planning going on inside, isn't it? Most of the time it's future planning inside. So, because it can only understand past, it can only understand future, it cannot understand the present. It cannot understand the present. This is an important thing. As soon as I'm saying something to you now, in the present state I am saying, but as soon as it's come out, it has become past. Isn't it? As soon as I've spoken something, it has become past. In other words, mind cannot touch anything which is present. It can only touch the past, or it can talk about the future. It can never touch the present. Spiritual life is all in the present, not in the past, not in the future. Once you come to spiritual life, past time and future time doesn't exist. Past time and future time doesn't exist. It's a complete misunderstanding. This is why I'm saying, while studying Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, if you don't keep these things in your concept, you will start studying it like history and physics, or chemistry or whatever other subjects, and you will start trying to collect in the same way analyzing spiritual life. Spiritual life doesn't work. In spiritual life there is no past, there is no future either. This is our misconception in spiritual life, that there is a thing called past is gone, that's finished. As far as the spirit soul is concerned, where is the past? Past was something happened in this world, and we are, because of our identification with the body and the mind, which brings that powerful knowledge of the past and the future, we are trapped in that, unable to come out of it. And what we do? We bring this spiritual knowledge also into the realm of the mind, and we are unable to cope with it, unable to understand it. As soon as you bring spiritual life into mind, mind will have a problem. Mind cannot handle it. Because the nature of the mind is to measure everything. It wants everything under its control. That is the way mind is. And mind means to measure. The meaning itself, the mayam. Mayam means to measure. That's the nature of the mind. So that is the only place where mind cannot have any entrance into spiritual life. This is a simple reason why Krishna is saying, get rid of the mind. Jnanis wipe out the mind completely. Yogis, what do? Yogis bring the whole mind into one point so that it cannot escape in such a way. And devotees, what do? They say purify the mind. In other words, this mind, what is completely polluted, cannot exist anymore in that form where it is. It has to be completely filled with Krishna, in other words. So either way, the mind has no entry into spiritual life. That is why while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, or Krishna's any of the instructions, Krishna says there that this mind is the whole cause, and that is, she is also present in this Maya in front of us. Maya in front of us. It's only 6:45. We'll stop there. We'll continue on Wednesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.